It was not just his own microcosm that had been upset, that whatever had happened had touched the world of the adults as well. He had never seen the ship like this before. "Something very, very bad," his father said. Chapter 5. I came crashing out of the dream of Sky Houseman, and for a moment thought I was still inside another dream, one whose central feature was a terrifying sense of loss and dislocation. Then I realized it wasn't a dream at all. I was wide awake, but it felt as if half my mind was still sound asleep, the part that held memory and identity, and any comforting sense of how I had ended up where I now found myself, any thread-like connection to the past. What past? I expected to look back and at some point to encounter sharp details, a name, a hint of who I was, but it was like trying to focus on grey fog. Yet I could still name things. Language was still there. I was lying on a hard bed under a thin brown knitted blanket. I felt alert and rested, and at the same time completely helpless. I looked around and nothing clicked. There was not the slightest tinge of familiarity on any level. I held my hand in front of my face, studying the ridgelines of veins on the back of it, and it looked only slightly less strange. Yet I remembered the details of the dream well enough. It had been dazzlingly vivid, less the way a dream ought to be, incoherent with shifting perspectives and haphazard logic, than a strictly linear slice of documentary. It was as if I had been there with Sky Houseman, not seeing things from exactly his point of view, but following him like an obsessive phantom. Something made me turn my hand over. There was a neat rust spot of dried blood in the middle of my palm, and when I examined the sheet beneath me, I saw more freckles of dried blood where I must have been bleeding before I woke up. Something almost solidified in the fog, a memory almost assuming definition. I got out of the bed naked and looked around me. I was in a room with roughly shaped walls, not hewn from rock, but formed from something like dried clay, painted over with brilliant white stucco. There was a stool adjacent to the bed and a small cupboard, both made from a type of wood I didn't recognize. There was no ornamentation anywhere except for a small brown vase set into an alcove in one wall. I stared at the vase in horror. There was something about it that filled me with terror, terror that I knew instantly to be irrational but couldn't do anything about. So maybe there is some neurological damage, I heard myself say. You've still got language, but there's something deeply screwed up somewhere in your limbic system, or whatever part of the brain handles that old mammalian innovation called fear. But as I found the focus of my fear, I realized it wasn't actually the vase at all. It was the alcove. There was something hiding in it, something terrible. And when I realized that, I snapped. My heart was racing. I had to get out of the room, had to get away from the thing that I knew made no sense, but which was still turning my blood to ice. There was an open doorway at one end of the room leading outside, wherever that was. I stumbled through it. My feet touched grass. I was standing on a patch of moist, neatly cut lawn surrounded on two sides by overgrowth and rock. The chalet where I'd woken was behind me, set into a rising slope, with the overgrowth threatening to lap over it. But the slope simply kept on rising, assuming an ever-steepening angle, reaching vertical and then curving over again in a dizzying, verdant arc, so that the foliage resembled Chinese spinach glued to the sides of a bowl. It was difficult to judge distance, but the world's ceiling must have been about a kilometer over my head. On the fourth side,